Okay, we have Fred and Wendy. Wendy are here. You have strolled right into the middle of Greeley Crime Beat, but we'll put that aside.
They love Greeley Crime Beat. Well,
nobody hears anything unless it's on mic.
I said Friendy loves Greeley Crime Beat, but sometimes they get a little bit afraid.
Yeah, it's a little terrifying. How are you? Someone take a mic, or you guys both sit, like, if you can each take an arm of that chair.
David, what's the code?
Okay, here we are.
Oh.
Good morning.
Have you talked about Boston Terriers yet?
Boston Terriers? No, tell me about Boston. This is
Fred's
Cleaver, by the
Boston
way.
Terriers.
Our good friend Fred. Uh-huh. This key.
Okay, I'm going to get you a chair, Wendy, so we're like big
I'm
people.
Still thinking of that chihuahua in the suitcase. Did you hear about the chihuahua?
Tell us about the chihuahua in the suitcase.
Closer to the mic. Yeah, so this was on the news recently. A chihuahua, like, got into a woman's suitcase unbeknownst to her and cuddled up in there.
Oh.
And they discovered him somewhere along the...
So she was flying. She was traveling.
She was flying, right.
Wow. And they it got on the plane. Nobody noticed. No...
I don't think
it made it into the plane. It sort of,
Yeah.
You inspect that luggage before it goes on the plane.
I would hope so, because women are so scared about traveling with, like, sex toys or you don't want to find this or this bottle they'll find. So a chihuahua, you would imagine that little x-ray screening would pick out.
Should pick out. Yes.
So that's cool. But you mentioned another...
Boston Terriers. I think you'll probably get to it in your Greeley Crime Beat, but...
Was it in this particular one? I don't recall.
Well,
If we don't, we'll... But how are you guys? We'll get back to the Crime Beat, but how are you guys doing?
Well, Fred, I was a little tardy this morning. I wanted to be here closer to 9. I apologize. We're so late.
I'm usually retardy, so that's okay. Oh. Don't even know what that means. Oh, I even doing the rim shot. Damn, I'm usually kind of retardy. Thank you so much.
Well, congratulations on your 500th.
Thank you. Yes. And it's so great to see you guys. I'm feeling excited about it. Nobody else, I've got one person in this room. I got my wife here. That's to some extent. Oh, and people can call in. 970-351-1256 is the number. We've already had, like, 14 phone calls so far. It's amazing. Yeah. They're all in my mind, but we're working on it. So how was your trip to Chicago? Last time, Friendly were here. It was our New Year's Eve celebration. We stayed on the air from about 9 until 1 in the morning on New Year's Eve. Friendly were kind enough to come with their friends. And this was just before they were heading off to Chicago for a nice, basically a tourism kind of trip, a fun trip.
Oh, well, no. It was actually
a
pleasure. I was on a committee that selected the top documentaries.
Oh, that was
Library
part of that
Association
trip, yeah.
But Fred likes taking the role of convention widow.
Oh.
And then we went to the theater in the evening.
Well, we'd like to thank you, because last time we were here, you introduced us to Mary Barnidge. And
yes.
We met her in Chicago. And
Mary Barnidge has been on this program a couple of times. She is a theater critic, a long-time theater critic in Chicago. She writes for Windy City Times. She used to write for the Chicago Reader. And incredibly knowledgeable and still excited after all these years about Chicago theater. I'll bet you picked that up from her.
We certainly picked that up. We saw one show on our recommendation, and...
How was it? Which show was that?
That was Keys of the Kingdom.
Excellent. They brought the stage bill here.
And another show we saw despite her non-recommendation.
But then she said we did pick a winner because it's gone on to a bigger venue.
Ooh. Which one is that?
Book of Mormon.
Oh, but yeah. But she thought she had misheard you on the air and was talking about the Book of Mormon, but you were actually talking about the Book of Mormon as an Ethel.
Which is partially a parody of the Book of Mormon.
And actually, there's a guy in New York now who's doing a one-person show, and it's called the Book of Moron. Really, no joke.
Wow.
I mean, so it's become its own meme. But I love this. Did you notice that Keys of the Kingdom is written by someone named Penny Peniston?
Yes.
Really? Really?
Really?
She's a local writer, right?
Yes, she's a local Chicago.
I just remember that there used to be, in like the 1970s, a disco person named C.C. Peniston. Really, really. That was her name. Do you remember that?
No, but I heard you were playing, before we left the house, Bang Shang-a-Lang. I hadn't heard that in a long time. Was that the Archies?
That was the Archies!
Okay, well, that's my era, right?
Of
age in the 70s.
Sugar, doo-doo-doo-doo, that was them. Yeah.
Honey, doo-doo-doo-doo.
They weren't like my special group.
You're my candy
girl, and you got... Chime in, Will.
I don't know any of the words. I'm 19 years old.
Just say, put a little sugar on it, honey.
Poor, I don't even have a microphone.
You just have a microphone. Come on, microphone, you son of a bitch.
You know
Come
how
on.
Just represent themselves when you're in puberty, just... mean so much to you? Like, what's,
they,
what
they
song?
They do so much.
Yeah, what song is your puberty song?
There was the one Black Eyed Peas song that they played when I was
in get a little closer or louder. Talk louder.
I can't remember the words.
The Black Eyed Peas song. Yeah. Do you know any, you would, that's
know,
more
well,
your
Fergie.
Era.
I know Fergie.
My wife knows Fergie.
It wasn't like the Lady Lumps one song.
My humps. Was that it? Your Lady Lumps? No, it wasn't that.
Not my puberty song.
I don't, what was my puberty? Because I was
look
listening
up,
to.
Look up Black Eyed Peas.
Okay.
We have a thing called the interwebs.
I know.
I don't know if you, the young people don't know of it, but it's called the interwebs.
I've heard of it.
And if
yeah.
you type in on a thing called Google on the interwebs.
Let's see. Probably Wiki Peas. Will list the most famous songs. I Got a Feeling.
That was the one.
That was the one. Or at least it wasn't Boom Boom Pow. Well, if it's puberty, they think I'm so well, Pump It.
Let's get it started.
All of those actually,
yeah. My wow. Humps. So they did My Humps.
That know. Was the one with what's her name? Her Lady Lumps thing.
Yeah.
Fergie.
Just Can't Get Enough. Meet Me Halfway. Are any of these songs non sexual? Where's the Love?
Más Que Nada, More Than Nothing.
Yeah, that's
Don't Stop the Party. That's the.
Yeah. Every single one of these is like, let's keep screwing.
But some of these are older. That's a two,
yeah,
he's
a lot
in 2009.
Some of these ones were too, though.
Well, yeah, all the disco yeah, stuff, yeah. That's what it's about, you know?
Ooh.
And that's why I never got laid in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s.
Oh, we saw a great movie the other day on TCM. That one with Burt Lahr and
Burt Lahr?
Burt Lahr?
It was pretty racy, I thought, for 1931. You know, that was before that. What's that?
The Hayes Office, yeah.
Yeah, the Hayes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, what was that?
Was he the Cowardly Lion, and was he doing weird things to the Tin Man?
No.
He was a pilot.
Burt Lahr is a pilot? Was it
pilot
Foxy?
A strange helicopter thing, which...
Yeah, it was sort of like Harrison Ford, a la Harrison Ford.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was very...
Not, and Burt Lahr, was it a
David,
comedy?
David,
it was
not,
a comedy.
Not
comedy,
the yes. crashy Harrison Ford. Not the crashy Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Did he just crash?
He could fly
he
a plane,
he's
yeah.
okay. He's okay.
Come on, Burt. Oh, IMDb is so slow. Here we go.
Wow.
Oh, he had a lot of movies.
But look, anything about pilot. It has to have the word.
Flying High. He played
Hank
and Rusty.
And they described his paramour as lanky. And I thought, she looked a bit like me. And
lanky?
Oh, it was so cute. It was really cute, yeah.
That was apparently his first movie except for a short silent film.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. And then he did Mr. Broadway and a couple more shorts. And wasn't where the hell's Wizard of Oz? Where did that... Oh, it's all the way 39, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Huh. Isn't it wonderful to be... I mean, I know life is terrible and we're all depressed and the environment is going to hell, but isn't it amazing that we can ask a question about Burt Lahr and the Black Eyed Peas and within 3 seconds...
Yeah. We can't have world peace.
It's
no,
the interwebs.
No,
speaking
yeah.
of world peas,
yes.
but...
Well, world Black Eyed Peas, yeah.
Oh,
thank
goodness.
You.
I think
rim shot! Oh,
I think Wendy should receive the Wretched Pun of Destiny 500th Show Award. It goes to Wendy.
Yeah, that's
or
fair.
Or maybe Friendy for their combined efforts at making the...
The Wretched Puns of
Yes.
Them. That's another segment that we'll be playing some of our very favorite classic Wretched Puns of Destiny that we've done. And that's also a relatively recent occurrence that we'll stop when we can.
Thank goodness.
Yes. That's where we make puns that are just so...
That's where all your hate mail comes from.
Not all of it. A good chunk of it. Most people just hate me. No fair talking off, Mike. What are you talking about?
Oh, no, I was thinking again about the theater.
Yeah.
It's just those two plays were very, very different. They were both very, you know, affirming of humanity and good things. So, and one was, you know, one was very serious and one was a comedy, but...
Ethel Merman is affirming of you.
Oh, yes. It was about... The moral of that story was to be true to yourself and let your MF'n inner Ethel Merman out.
Wow.
Belt it out. Belt it out to the world.
Yes, dear?
I do not find that affirming. I find that scary.
It's scary for me! For me! No, sorry.
Yeah,
Got it.
Oh, jeez. Fred, please don't encourage him. He's got like 18 hours of this, Fred. Maybe he'll stay by you guys.
Oh, I didn't mention, we will be on until 5:21 in the afternoon today. We're doing 501 minutes devoted to 500 shows that we've done, plus one to grow on. So, you know, if you missed some of this beautiful stuff we've done in the past 40 minutes, hang with us. We'll be here. But aside from the theater stuff that you did in Chicago, what else did you do? What fun did you have over there?
Well, we slogged through a record-breaking snowstorm. We experienced lake effect snow for the first time.
What is lake effect snow?
It's sort of in the air. It's kind of going horizontal. I don't know. I mean, it comes from the condensation from the lake.
Snow and rain get together. They're like, "Hey, you want to get horizontal?" They're like, "Yeah, okay, let's do it."
Yeah, it's much moister than the precipitation here.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's New York. Anywhere east, it's gonna be a damp, kind of heavy, sodden thing.
We made our pilgrimage to the Art Institute to see Fred's painting.
Which is that?
The Manet.
Manet.
Oh, the one that looks like you with the...
It's in room 222.
Oh, jeez.
It's the salon number 222.
Really?
You know, Mary once worked at the Institute Art Institute as
a docent?
You
know, or what?
A room...
Room guard.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
But I think she shot a Picasso.
Where's the most non-violent... Well, actually, no, she was a Marine. She wouldn't be the most non-violent person, but...
What people don't know about Mary that I think is one of her best qualities is she likes to do those Renaissance fighting things. So she's very much into theater fighting, not real violence.
Stage combat,
but she loves that kind of... And it's a bit scary, but she does really... She knows a lot of the technique of fighting, right?
She's fascinated
jousting.
By it.
Yeah, joust, like that kind of, and then they do swords.
Well, also regular combat, any kind of actual stage combat.
We should have said that to you before you went mad with her.
She's a fierce woman.
Yeah.
She just parted the traffic when we jaywalked.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the neighborhood was fun. I mean, we had kind of an adventure getting there.
Did she give you pizza?
Oh, that was the Ethel Merman.
It's the Ethel Merman.
Yeah, we were running late. We got off the L and we went the wrong direction, which often happens to us. Uh-huh. And so we ended up Fred flagged a cab. Oof. We were just lucky, the cab was dropping someone off at an apartment building.
Wow.
And so he gave us a ride to the theater over these... There's a neighborhood that has a lot of speed bumps.
Oh.
What's the name of that neighborhood?
Andersonville.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a really pleasant neighborhood. But the play has moved to a bigger venue. It's not that.
This is the Merman one you're talking about. Yeah, wow. Cool. I'm glad you had such a great
time.
They
have a lot of programs in front of them. I don't know what they're about.
Well, these...
No, them.
Well,
these are other things we've seen recently.
I don't know what they have.
Oh.
Well, we really enjoyed the UNC production of Intimate Apparel a few weeks ago.
Intimate Apparel.
It was wonderful.
I'm sorry I missed that. Now, I have to ask, or actually I'm not asking, but Rabbi Saul Solomon is asking. You know him well. There's a major Jewish character in the play.
That's correct.
Oh, was it offensive?
Yes. No, I don't think it was. Very sweet.
Yeah, he was a very redeeming character. I mean, he really cared for the woman. It was about a seamstress.
Right, yeah.
And he really cared for her, and it's sort of an interracial friendship.
You know, as soon as I hear that a play is about a seamstress, all I can think is, so what?
Well, it was kind of... Then the way they staged it was with photographers, an old photograph, and it was captioned "The Unknown Immigrant" or "Unknown Seamstress" or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very moving about sort of the common person's plight in that era.
Cool. But you didn't think it was played for stereotype being kind of whatever, any of the characters or anything like that? I heard through the ozone that it was kind of... Especially the Jewish character, which I would get kind of head up about.
Well, he's sold fabric. I mean, he was some kind of
Or even the playing of it, rather than just the scripting of it.
It didn't feel that way to me. It seemed really genuinely like they were, if in a different, you know, in a different world, they could have been, had a happy love life, but it wasn't to be because of the racial issues. And it was just, he was a really wonderful character,
Good. Oh, I'm glad you liked it. And that was at UNC just a couple of weeks ago. Are you going to see, they're doing Children of Paradise as we speak, I think. Children of Eden.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I could sing Godspell for you because I memorized that in high school. You know?
Godspell, oh,
man. It's the same composer, right?
Stephen Schwartz. Also the guy who wrote Wicked and The Magic Show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he'd done that.
So, and you had another program there?
This went to see the Denver's Colorado Symphony.
Ooh!
you guys are so cultured.
Because they were doing music from Wendy's.
The Danny Elfman thing. Yeah,
I'm recording. Oh, yes, Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure was at the very beginning.
Yeah.
For about, you know, the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. No, we were thinking about Garden Thumb. We just got too busy. But was it a good fun?
It was great.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, he was there, I guess. Elfman was conducting.
No.
Oh, so they just—it was just the orchestra playing Danny Elfman music
and a choir too.
Oh, choir. Okay.
And a slide video show with clips from the movie. And,
oh, that's so. So was it time they would play live to the? Didn't realize they were doing that. That's cute. That's cool. What was your favorite surprise moment? Like the music that you liked the most from that?
Well, The music from Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventures means so much to me. But that was very early in the show.
Yeah. She also criticized them for not including tequila.
Well,
he didn't write that.
They did a little homage to Day-O.
Which he didn't write either, but yeah.
Yeah, the Michael Keaton Beetlejuice. Right, so they just did that little riff, Day-O, Day-O. So I thought if they'd only done just a little riff
of
tequila.
Or
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Aww.
But anyway, no, the surprise was the violinist in the second act, right?
Chris? Yes.
Mm. She was fabulous. And does it have her name in there?
Oh, I wonder. Sandy Cameron.
She was diminutive, and she was wearing an outfit like you would see Cher in. Jumpsuit, sort of a goth leather jumpsuit.
Oh my God, yeah,
But it fit with the movies of Tim Burton. You know, and she played the violin and she danced at the same time. I never seen anything. It was so fabulous.
The amazing thing is that I found the great violinist who isn't Asian. This shocks the hell out of me. But
well, and you can go to her website and see her,
Sandy Cameron
do this performance. Oh, it's not the exact performance, but it's a similar performance.
Yeah.
It's really fabulous.
Well, wow. Well, cool. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing. You know, are these your personal, or did you bring? Oh, sorry. Yeah. No. Take those back. Well, cool. Well, how have things been since you've returned from Chicago? But we're talking with Fred Kleber, his wife Wendy Hybe. I got it right this time. Okay. Anything else doing, guys?
We call them Friendy. Yeah. Friendy.
We're on our way. Yes, thank you, DuBois, by the way. yes, we're on our way to the Boulder International Film Festival today. And Fred's concerned because he forgot his passport, by the way.
So you can only see the domestic movies.
Uh-oh. That's right.
There you go. They won't let you in for the foreign ones.
We're just seeing a couple of films.
But this has nothing to do with...
Well, David, he'll be banned from the tea house without a passport and the Sherpa house. No Sherpa house, no tea house for you.
Last time I went to one of those, I got Sherpies.
Oh,
yeah. Thank you very much.
What does he think of this thing?
He's never listened to the show before. He has no idea what he's walking
That's
into.
That's not true. I actually heard, I went in and I found the Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, the Mandy Patinkin with Rabbi Saul. Yeah, that was...
a fan of Mandy? He's great.
So, I'm a fan of that interview for sure in The Princess Bride, but I definitely went back and listened to that, which was an experience.
Yeah. Well, you know the story, the Mandy Patinkin. It was a telephone interview.
Right.
And Rabbi Saul, I would play it here as part of the greatest hits, but it's not a greatest hit. Everything was set up. Rabbi Saul was going to talk to Mandy by phone because he was doing a benefit for like the Volksbühne Theater, one of the Yiddish theaters in New York. So the press agent told him, you're going to be talking to Rabbi Saul. He's quite a character, literally and figuratively, da-da-da. You know, you're talking, it'll be a nice conversation, boom, 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 everything's set up, he calls. The rabbi introduces him in glowing terms, you know. But I think he said, obviously the rabbi always says, shalom, damn it, that's his opening greeting. And I think Patinkin heard that or something, and he just said, I don't think I'm going to do this, and hangs up.
Wow.
And this is on live radio. This isn't just, like, I can go... back, and I now have 15 minutes of airtime to fill.
Wow.
So what did you do?
Well, first of all, the rabbi took over for a bit, and he just started cursing Mandy Patinkin in no uncertain terms for about 6 minutes. Just thinking of all the horrible possible terms and saying that his new show should, which had just started on TV, should be a terrible, horrible flop.
And it was.
It was called Criminal Minds. Gee, nothing ever happened with that show. So, and just went on and on and doing some Mandy bashing. Mm. And he's never apologized.
Aww.
And Mandy Patinkin has the reputation in all theater circles as being a complete lunatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, really unstable and dangerous and mad. So, you know, it's not anything we weren't completely expecting. It just would have been nice to be hung up a few minutes into the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's one of the enemies of the neighborhood. Wow. We have a couple. Most of our, we have hundreds now of friends of the neighborhood. People who appeared on the show, written in, supported us. There are a couple of enemies.
Aww.
Yeah, he's one. Aww. He's like public enemy number one.
Wow.
How could anyone not love you?
It wasn't me. It was Rabbi
Your
Saul.
Check's in the mail, Wendy. Your check's in the mail.
So.
I used to like when Mandy would come on the Letterman show and with Tony Randall.
Tony Randall.
Well, he'd run in there and he'd sing.
here's
your reward, Wendy.
We got you guys treats for coming.
Oh, thank you.
You can take them in the car when you drive to Boulder.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask
that's
about.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you.
I wanted to ask about, does the Boulder thing have anything to do with the documentary or the film judging stuff that you did in Chicago?
Oh, no. Although I may very well see a film there that I might not, you know, want to nominate.
So why don't you tell people quickly kind of what that's all about.
So this was a committee of eight librarians who watched 64 documentaries and then came together in Chicago as sort of like a jury. Mm-hmm. So we were impaneled in this snowy in Chicago in, you know, like a hotel suite for 8 hours deciding which...
So you've already seen the films, now you're going to argue about them.
So we discussed them that day. And we pick our top 15.
Was there anything really contentious where there were the ones where everybody saw one film, one person thought, oh, this has to, and everybody else was like, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah. Not so much contentious, but there were a few. You sort of champion a film. Several people take turns championing a film.
Yeah.
And... So there is some discussion, disagreement sometimes, but nothing, no fisticuffs.
Well, no. And so was there a consensus as to, like, the obvious best?
Well, no, we don't rank them.
Oh. You just kind of...
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, Fred, you're not part of that, but... Oh, you're... Oh, you're sorry, yeah.
So that may... Yeah, because I think if we ranked them, we'd probably have to take a whole nother day... Because I think there would be perhaps more contention about that.
So what movies are you seeing today in Boulder?
One is called Hip Hopperation. It's about older women doing maybe some sort of hip hop dancing. Yeah, and I can't remember what the other one is we're seeing too. Yeah, it's something about creativity. I don't remember the title.
Hmm. And this is, where are they doing this? In the Boulder cinema?
Various venues. Yeah.
Oh, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
Yeah. We need to.
We're not going to keep you here like all morning, but it's, so Fred, you haven't really been on mic much. You're not much the talker.
No, we have to go. Our first film's going to be at the E-Town Hall.
Uh-huh.
So, and our ride is outside in the parking lot now, so we have to take off.
So you have to go. Well, I want to thank you so much, guys, for spending part of the first hour of these 8 and change hours that we're doing for 500th Dave's Gone By episode. So great to see you.
Thank you for having us, and congratulations again. And
thank you.
Thank you for letting us interrupt the crime.
Oh, the crime beat. We have to get back to that, yes.
Wendy, just ask, and Fred, ask to speak to a supervisor if you have any trouble. That's the key.
Okay.
Key to success in life.
Any problems, ask for a supervisor.
Yes.
And if there's a naked man running around the lawn where the film is, again, ask for a supervisor.
We will.
You missed that while you were walking in. It's a reference that our listeners will get, both of them. And
this was in the... This is,
yes,
yeah, we
had
started the crime beat.
Running around this somewhere in Green Bay.
Okay, so great to see you. Thank you for...
Yeah, check your luggage.
Have a good time today.
I will.
Look for the Boston Terriers.
And for Terriers, too.
Aww.
What do you say?
They're Boston Terriers. They're cute.
They are cute. Boston Terriers are. Thanks, guys. Thanks for stopping in.
Stopping
on the Dave's Gone By radio program of the air here on uncradio.com, the radio station of the University of Northern Colorado. I am David Lefkowitz. I don't think I even identified myself this whole show yet, but I am the host and producer of Dave's Gone By. I have been since October of 2002, and we've done 499 previous episodes. We're generally on from 9 until noon Mountain Time here on Saturday mornings, but this special time, we're here until 5:21 in the afternoon because it's our 500th show.